Hey everyone, it is Sean and Dave here from Saturday Morning Cartoons. We want to thank the following people for going to patreon.com/Saturday Morning Cartoons and supporting our show. So a huge thank you to Derek Haynes,
Dr. Jason Woods,
Jamal Newman,
Melanie Harker,
Allison Keane,
the one and only Sean Paul Ellis,
and the amazing Dave Trumbore.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, it might sound kind of weird that we are thanking some familiar people and ourselves in this list, but we want to let you listeners out there know that we are not just asking you to support us through Patreon. We are actually putting our hard-earned dollars into the show as well. So we just want to say thank you to those who have supported. And for anyone who can't, but would like to help out the show in some way, feel free to share our Patreon page within your social media circles. It would really help a lot.
So thank you, guys. We appreciate you going to patreon.com/Saturday Morning Cartoons to sponsor and support our podcast. And now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I am your co-host, Sean Paul Ellis, and coming all the way from... Man, I'm going to butcher. This is hard. When I don't write notes for this, this is impossible. Rounding out the collection of the Crystal Gems is our co-host, Dave Trumbore. Dave, how's it going?
Sean, doing great, buddy. How are you?
Doing well, buddy. Glad to have
I thought you were going to throw it back at me again. You're so used to doing it. I don't know what you're talking about tonight. What are you talking about?
Oh, man. Well, tonight we are kind of diverting from sort of our regular programming.
If the regular been a show, fan of the show. As you might.
The regular show, yeah. Where you're going to straight up be talking about the regular show tonight. So, no, we've... So last week, our episode that we had was sort of a little bit out of the norm for everybody. We kind of went back and talked about some of the shows that we have, that this podcast and this show has inspired us to go back and rewatch and continue watching. We've also talked about some of the problems and some of the troubles and difficulties with, sort of being a professional adult and having responsibilities and things that we also have to do outside that are not always cartoon related. Yeah. So keeping that in mind, tonight we are going to be kind of talking about two specific shows that are currently on the air right now. One that I have been obsessed about for a while, and then one that Dave and I have both been obsessed about for quite some time within its short run. And so, of course, tonight we are going to be talking about Steven Universe and Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah. You can tell which one I've watched and which one I have no clue what we're going to talk about.
It's like peanut butter and jelly. These two shows, they go together like chocolate and peanut butter.
It's like peanut butter and jelly. They go together like chocolate and peanut butter.
I just really want peanut butter, I think is the point.
I love that. I really hope that's a line from Steven Universe. So we're not going to do, like Sean mentioned, we're not going to do kind of our typical shtick tonight, and we're not going to dive deep into history or plots or anything like that. We're just going to kind of talk about our experience of watching it, because like we mentioned last week, we don't really get a chance too often to kind of just sit back and enjoy something. So we are very careful with the cartoons that we actually choose to spend our time watching. So Sean is going to do his best to sell me on Steven Universe, because I know next to nothing except I believe it's by Rebecca Sugar. And it's a Cartoon
correct.
Network series that has been on for at least, what, 3 seasons now? 5 seasons?
It's actually kind of hard. Okay. It's been on since 2013, but the seasons have been kind of wonky and sort of choppy. And so it's very hard to say. It's been on for quite some time. It's 4 seasons and 128 episodes. But those episodes are sometimes like, sometimes it's a full 20-minute episode, and sometimes it's like 10-minute episodes. And more likely than not, it is one 10-minute episode that segues into the next 10-minute episode to sort of break up the focus or the particular point.
So it kind of has that Adventure Time kind of format to it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, very much. I mean, a lot of the storyboard artists are from Adventure Time, and Sugar used to be on Adventure Time
that
as
makes
well.
A lot of sense. And I know that they've had like some, maybe not controversy, but they've had, you know, Cartoon Network said at one point they were going to be back for season 5, and then they kind of pulled the rug out from under them at some point. So I don't quite know where Steven Universe is currently. I know it's on air right now, but I don't know what its future kind of looks like.
Well, I think the exciting thing is that the news and the announcement is that the fifth season is going to be coming on at the end of May 2017. Nice. So May 29th is when the fifth season will kick off. I'm pretty excited about this. This is actually a show that, because of sort of the release schedule, I've been a cord cutter now for a pretty long time.
Come the end of this contract, the end of this year, we're going back, because this last 2 years has been increasingly expensive and rough.
Yeah. So I cut my cord a while ago, and it was really something that, like, I was on Hulu one day, and I was looking for something that I was interested to watch. I can't remember if it was a conversation about somebody mentioning or talking about Steven Universe. Regardless of what happened, I turned it on, I started watching it, and I think that there was something maybe like 32 episodes, which, you know, whatever the half that, so 18.
Okay, so you weren't like from the beginning. You came into it after it had a few seasons in the books.
Right, exactly. I had come in, I think, maybe sometime in the like mid-second season, and because of how much I've enjoyed this show, I actually buy season passes to this on Amazon, so I get an email every time a new episode comes out so that I can immediately begin watching it. It's sort of actually, this has become one of my traditions, is that sometimes when episodes will come out throughout the week, they do something called the Steven Bomb, which is multiple episodes that come out and are aired during a week so that you can see them like kind of back to back. Sort of like a lot of the cartoons that we've talked about from the 80s and sometimes early 90s that would air, you know, sequentially almost every day after school. And because I'm an adult and I can't always do that, I'll save them and I'll watch them on Saturday mornings.
Well, that's like, I know Cartoon Network drives me crazy because they don't have like a regular schedule. It drives me absolutely insane, especially as a person who like likes to schedule things and likes to have spreadsheets and formats and also has to do news. So he needs to know what the hell's going on. But like Ben 10, the new Ben 10 series,
it'll come
out pretty much every day, but they have multiple episodes at different times. But sometimes the first segment of a half an hour episode is new, but the second one is not, and then vice versa sometimes. I don't know what you guys are doing, but you're driving me nuts. Either release everything like Netflix does, or at least put it on a regular schedule. None of this half-assed stuff. But I digress. It sounds like they do the same thing with Steven Universe.
They do it a lot. And so it's sort of why I ended up purchasing a season pass on Amazon, is so that I have no idea sometimes when these things are coming out, despite following them on social media. Things will slip through the cracks. And I rely on email 9 times out of 10 to be able to tell me, hey, you have a new episode, go watch it right now. So that's kind of helped me at least sort of organize sort of some of the confusion and chaos behind when they actually air these episodes. But at the same time, if it's not something that you're 100% invested in, you're not going to spend the money, the $15 or $20, you know, for a season that hasn't come out yet. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
So what?
I feel like you want me to sell you on this show.
I still have no idea what it's about.
Okay, so it is, at its core, it's a coming-of-age story about a boy who is named Steven Universe.
So his name is actually Steven Universe.
Correct, his name is Steven
Universe. I've basically just walked into the showroom of, like, the cartoon showroom. There's a lot of real shiny, cool, neat-looking stuff on the showroom floor. And Sean has just come out of his office, and he sees this look in my eyes like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. I can sell him on anything right now. Let's talk about Steven Universe. Oh, we got a brand new Steven Universe for you to check out today. It's got your name on it. Why don't you step right this way into my office? So, okay, we got Steven Universe. What else you got? Coming of age story.
Coming of age story. He is being raised by three aliens, humanoid aliens from another planet, who are all female.
Now we're talking.
And they are all named after gemstones. Huh. Pearl, Garnet, and Amethyst.
Is Pearl 85 years old?
She is not. They are actually, the way that they are created, they're sort of timeless. They are grown, and then they sort of hatch out of stone.
Okay.
And so it's and when they come out, they are supposed to be fully formed. Okay. In some cases, they're sometimes not. And so that's sort of one of the themes that they kind of delve into in this show. I'll be honest with you, this show gets very emotional.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I think it's one of those, it's
It's compared to what? What do you think you could compare it to?
I'm going to be honest with you. I can't think of a single thing to compare this to. There's an episode that's called Lion 3 Straight to Video, and it is... I cried. Really? I cried so hard after watching this. A lot of it deals with the fact that Steven is being raised by these three humanoid aliens because his mother fell in love with a human. And when they decided to have a child, Rose Quartz, Steven's mother, is not able to have a baby in the same way that like a human is able to. And so what happened is her gemstone became Steven's gemstone. And so her essence essentially is in her power. Her essence is essentially inside this gemstone that is now a part of Steven.
Interesting.
And so it is Steven's dad sort of understanding the loss of the love of his life. It is the other crystal gems, as they have called themselves, understanding the loss of their leader, who actually led a rebellion against their homeworld thousands of years ago.
Now we're talking.
And it's sort of Steven understanding what it takes to be a human male, sort of quasi-alien boy, and how these powers impact his life and what happens. It deals the whole mention about that episode, Lion 3 Straight to Home Video. That episode, he finds a tape from his mother that she's recorded on VHS. And I don't know. I don't know why sometimes, like, whenever I get into stuff like that, like, I'm lucky because, like, I have both of my parents are still alive. But that topic, for some reason, they hit on it so hard. And it evoked such emotion for me. I was blown away. I closed my iPad and was just like, oh, I can't believe this is a cartoon. Like, I had to call my mom and be like, how are you? I was like, I'm a little bit messed up right now. She's like, from what? From a cartoon. I'm going to hang up, Sean. It was that good. I mean, it's that interesting of a story because, you know, my family and I was born and a lot of my family is in Jersey. There is the area that this all takes place is called Beach City.
That's what I was wondering, like, what the setting was, if it was spacey, if it was otherworldly.
No, it is grounded here on Earth. And the fun thing is that these crystal gems exist on Earth. People seem to be aware of them, but they seem to have created this sort of harmony where there's a lot of relics that are left over from this revolution and this battle with their homeworld that are still present in the world today. On Earth.
Is the backstory as like extensive and as kind of mysterious and as kind of unexplored relatively as like Adventure Time? Because I know in the later seasons where they had like these super hyper focused things like islands or stakes or whatever the new one is, they kind of like went back and explored those previous settings. Is it kind of the same thing here?
A little bit. I mean, you get a lot of sort of the childish, good-natured, sort of smiling, happy Steven in a lot of the beginning episodes. And then sort of as he discovers things, there's still this like really fun sense of joy and discovery that he has as a character. And then suddenly they very slowly begin to kind of understand that there are other threats.
Interesting.
And there are threats that are coming from homeworld, and how are they going to deal with it? Or there are artifacts that are stuck here on the planet Earth that they need to kind of contain and resolve in order to feel safe, in order to be able to be protectors of this planet.
So what?
That was the whole reason that Rose Quartz died, was that she fought and then wanted to meet somebody like Steven's dad's name, Greg. Okay. And he's great because he's got complete bald top and he's got this long flowing line. He reminds me a little like long flowing mane, and he used to be a rock star guitarist, and he came into town to play a gig and he falls in love with Rose Quartz, and it's this really romantic fun
it's
love
like the
story.
Opposite
they
of
go
everything
back into
from
it.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2
pretty much. So there's a lot that's involved, but you're right, very much like Adventure Time, you get into a lot of this wonderment, discovery, and then slowly threat begins to get kind of weaved in, And so it builds. I mean, it builds massively. And it gets more and more crazy. The best part about this is the voice acting. Everybody who is in this, because there are songs that are in some of these Adventure Time episodes as well. A little bit, yeah. I mean, you know, Rebecca Sugar is known for breaking out her ukulele and playing a lot, but there are notable people who are in here, such as Estelle, Dee Dee Magno Hall. Like, a lot of these people are actually are not specifically voice talent that you would see in cartoons, but they're actual professional singers, musicians, Broadway as well. And so some of these people are just absolutely incredible. And their voices, and when these things come through, everybody's unique, everybody's distinct. You can tell everybody just by their specific voice. And I think that when you look at sort of the design and the colors of each one of these crystal gems, everybody sort of has like a base color. Garnet has like a red. Amethyst has a purple tone. Pearl has sort of this blue kind of turquoise color that goes with it. So everything is very unique. And as you're introduced to additional gems, they sort of really kind of build on how their home world functions as a society. And so you really get so much history about everything that's happened up to the point that you are at during the show, that the payoff has never felt forced or like it was something like I was like, oh, okay, that seems kind of dumb. Everything felt earned and interesting. And every time it was done, I was like, shit, that was only a 20-minute episode. Like, I wish there was more.
That's a great point. More. So let me ask you this before we jump to our next cartoon for tonight. But kind of where are they at now? And does it seem like they're going to wrap things up? Like, is there like an end in sight? Or is this going to be one of those things where your fans are kind of left in the lurch a little bit, do you think?
I mean, it seems like they are kind of beginning to... It seems like towards the end of the fourth season that they are beginning to sort of direct this towards a conclusion. It's hard because I don't want it to conclude.
Yeah, but sometimes it's better to let it end at a high point. Yeah,
absolutely. And I agree with that. I'd rather have a really good, complete story than something that went on far beyond when it should have kind of, you know, pulled the cord. So right now, the show is still really engaging. And you, in the end of the last season, you get to see some stuff on Homeworld.
Oh, cool.
Like, the leaders of Homeworld are called the Diamonds. And they are brutal.
Now what's crazy is this sounds like something that could have come out of the 80s and been like really terrible, because they were just like, gemstones, kids love gemstones, we can sell a shitload of toys,
pet rocks, who doesn't love pet rocks?
Diamonds, topaz, there's millions of them. I could have seen this being like like retrofitted for the 80s, so I'm kind of glad that it's come about at like this time. I will check it out. It's been on my list forever. It's just one of those things that honestly, I haven't even started. I just have not pushed play on it, but I feel like I kind of have to. I think it was trying to balance, like, I wanted to stay caught up with Adventure Time, which I still have not watched the last two, like, mini series of them. The last thing I watched was Islands. So I wanted to stay caught up with that before starting anything new. I kind of watch these things in waves, like concentrated chunks. So if I start Steven Universe and I like it, I'll probably finish it as it finishes, most likely. But there is I guess anything else to say to make sure I walk out of this showroom with a brand new Steven Universe?
No, I mean, I think I've sold you on it. I feel pretty confident about my ability to be able to do the hard press sell on this. Let's get into the show that you have recently been, but we've actually both been recently watching.
I did not have
that. I only found out came back recently.
I did not have to sell.
And I lost
Sean
my mind
this.
About it.
I just had to tell him, hey, Attack on Titan season 2 is nuts, and he was just like,
I'm so excited.
What?
I knew it was coming back, but I had no idea when. And then suddenly, I guess I screwed up my subscription on Crunchyroll and I didn't have it flagged as something for me to watch.
When it came up,
I was just like, oh,
yeah,
no.
They were like not great with the marketing rollout. Like, I only knew because I follow the animation news and stuff. And like, so we're currently watching the simulcast. I'm watching it on Hulu because I don't want to wait. I don't have the Crunchyroll subscription anymore. So I watch other stuff on there for free, but I don't watch Attack on Titan. I stay current with Hulu. And I believe Sean and I are both caught up with the most recent episode. So to give a little bit of background to people, we're not going to go through the whole history. I don't have the names and dates in front of me, but essentially it started as a manga and then was adapted into an anime, at least one, if not a couple live action Japanese movies. Essentially, the plot of this thing boils down to a human race who lives within these walled cities, and then outside those walls are giant, bizarrely drawn humanoid creatures of various size, anything from like 6 feet tall to like 300 feet tall, that just eat humans. And these are the Titans.
And they're naked.
And they're very naked. And they look...
with no actual discernible genitals.
They look so dumb. They look so stupid. That every episode I'm torn between laughing out loud at these gangle creatures. Sometimes they run like they have no bones. They just kind of... but their mouths are always like weirdly out of proportion. Parts of them are all out of proportion. They look creepy and weird. Some of them look awesome. Like some of them have amazing designs. And we'll get into sort of some of the specific ones. A lot of them are just like weird gangle creatures that just go running around, kind of lolling around, and then occasionally eat people. So it's this weird kind of clownish display on the outside, and then this horrific, just really gnarly, like limb-tearing, blood-splashing, screaming. I mean, you get to watch as these human victims are like bitten, either bitten or just like bitten apart or eaten whole. You watch every moment right up until they're dead, and then even after sometimes. Like, it's pretty brutal. Yeah.
If you want to reenact Attack on Titan by yourself, put a little face on, like, a piece of celery, like on a stalk of celery, and then just get naked in your kitchen, and then just noodle arm run towards that piece of celery, and then pick it up, and then just snap it as hard as... That's basically Attack on Titan. That's
essentially Attack on Titan.
That's essentially all of Attack on Titan.
It's one of these weird things where you'll watch it and you'll be laughing because it's so goofy looking, and then the horror hits you and you just feel like a terrible human being because you just watched... the thing that drives me crazy about this show is, like, sometimes you'll spend an entire episode, an entire season with a character, and then all of a sudden, they're gone. Done. They're gone. They're bitten in half. They're torn to pieces. They're gone. It's amazing. I don't think I can think of another show that's done that, another cartoon show that's done that, that like they introduce characters, they establish backstories, names, friends, family, quirks, traits that they have, and then all of a sudden they're just like bitten in half. It happens with such regularity that you really feel like anybody at this point, with the exception of maybe three people, can just be killed in any moment. And the crazy thing is, this whole thing centered originally, I think it came out in like 2013, the first season. And then it was a
manga before that. And I just want, the only reason I want to bring up the fact that it's a manga is because, have you ever read the manga?
I have, I think, the first volume over here somewhere. With the one, it, what is it, Aaron? Do you know that picture?
Oh,
do you know that
God.
Meme? Okay.
Yes. The artwork that was in, I mean, it's now up to like close to like maybe like 100 entries in the manga. It is not well drawn. It got better. It got better in later
it's
iterations.
It's better than One Punch,
but it's
originally
not good.
No, it's the sort of thing where somebody of like middling talent came up with an interesting story, and then somebody better saw the potential in it, and then turned it into what I think is a really beautifully animated anime series. But they keep that weird-ass design of the Titans for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but it's that weird thing where it's like you want to laugh and then you want to just be horrified. So I think the first anime series come out in 2013. Was it that long ago? This is why people have been waiting so long for the second season. It's just been delayed and delayed.
Yeah, it was
and
a very long time ago.
So now we're finally getting the second season. Essentially, the whole first season, and spoiler alert, if you guys don't want to know anything about Attack on Titan 1 or 2, feel free to turn it off now because we're just going to chat about it for a little bit. But essentially, the whole first season centers on this kid named Eren Jaeger. And he survived an attack from these Titans, from these giants. His home was crushed, destroyed, and he kind of escaped with his friends, eventually joined up in sort of like the scouts or the military wing. They have a bunch of different divisions.
Yeah.
They have a really cool way of getting around, which we'll talk about in a second. He joined up with one of them, but then it turns out that he actually has this ability to turn into a Titan himself. So he can turn into a Titan, and he is actually on the human side. So he will occasionally fight these other Titans. Now, it doesn't happen as often as I would like. It doesn't happen as often as you would expect from like a show from the 80s or 90s. He's not Megazording or Voltroning every episode. For a lot of the episodes, he's not even there. They shift focus to so many different characters so many different times. It's actually honestly tough to keep track of everybody. And then the people that you do keep track of, they get bitten in half. So it's kind of like, well, why did I waste my time on them?
I keep sometimes wondering, like, while I'm watching it, because you're right, you know, it kind of follows sometimes my problem that I have with like the standard anime 26 episode series is that, like, it'll come in real hot and heavy for like the first 10 or 12 episodes, and then there's that mid-season break, and then it drags, and then there's one cool thing at the end, and you're just like, oh, thank God.
But I have to say, with Attack on Titan, at least this season, like, it's a bonkers enough show to watch at any given time because you don't know what's about to happen. In season two, they are killing it with the cliffhangers, and it's driving me crazy. Because they'll literally have, like, you'll see a scene of, like, two Titans coming together, like, coming to blows, and then they just cut it right there, and you're like, fuck! Like, I had an actual visceral reaction to this last episode where they just cut it, and I was just like, gah! That never happens. I never do that. I never get that, like, upset at the end of a show. But they've been killing it with the cliffhanger game. Like, they've been killing it. What's interesting is, go ahead. What are your impressions of season two so far?
My impression right now of season two is that it seems, and this is my concern, is that I'm hoping that this isn't them coming in hot and heavy again for the first 10 or 12 episodes of season two. And then because the drag that happened at the middle of season one up until the end was really challenging because they not only do they shift focus, but then Aaron is in a coma for a majority
anytime
of the time.
Anytime your lead character goes in a coma, it's not a good stretch.
And they're trying to fill in a lot of additional exposition and backstory. And I wasn't super interested in it. What I was interested in is these cool ways that they fly around the city, awesome. And the fact that they're killing these Titans, which we should mention, their vulnerability is the nape of the neck. And so it has to be cut open. So, like, you can cut off their arms, you can cut off their legs, you can cut them in half, and they're still moving. But until you cut that nape on the back of their neck, it's still a weirdly shaped, misproportioned mouth that is trying to bite you.
And
in
it's
half.
The weird thing is, like, sometimes they're just giant heads on, like, tiny bodies running around. So that there might just be a giant head that's just
me
trying
out.
To bite people in half. Even if you've, like, severed the rest of the body, there's, like, a certain section. And it's not even just cutting it. You have to actually take, like, a slice. You got to slice it. You need two blades in order to do that, pretty much. You got to cut, like, a little sample slice out of the back. If you cut them any other way, or if you wound them any other way, they just have, like, this crazy steam that kind of comes out and heals them up eventually. You can have it to the point that, like, limbs can be completely torn off, and given enough time, they will slowly just regenerate everything back together. Now, one of the things that was driving people crazy about season one, myself included, the answers. There were, like, no answers available. There was so much mystery. It starts with, like, him, Aaron, at his house. His dad was a scientist. He basically, this still drives me crazy to this day. He basically said to Aaron, everything you need to know is in the basement. And then they've never gone back to the house.
They continue to talk about it. They're just like, they talk about it in season two. They're just like, guys, they're like, we need to get back to the basement of my house. But then they're just like, you know what? Let's go south.
Let's just go, let's like, go to Rose Maria. Let's go to Wall Maria. Let's go to Wall Rose. I love their settings. I love the design of the human characters. They have a really kind of, like, bold look that almost makes it look 3D. Like, they kind of stand out against the background a little bit. The jackets for, like, the scout patrol are super cool. The way they fly around the city and the giants. Because we talked about how they have to cut the necks open on these titans to kill them. But how do they get around? Since, remember, these titans are anywhere from, like, you know, well, more than 6 feet. Probably, like, 9 feet to 300 feet tall. So how are we going to get around and cut the necks of these bastards?
So they have this... It's like a mechanical motor that's on the back that shoots these wire tethers, and it can shoot multiple tethers. I think it's four
at
a time.
It's like an omnidirectional
thing.
Like, they can shoot it straight up, to the side, behind them, underneath, anywhere they want to point it.
And like the control is like this little kind of joystick that's like a part or sort of like attached to like where the blades that they have. So they can direct themselves wherever they need to go in order to get to that perfect spot where they're able to cut the nape of that neck. And so to see them, because these Titans are unpredictable, and some of them are just lumbering and slow and dumb. Yeah. Other ones, or just huge. And sometimes there will be one that looks like it's lumbering, slow, and dumb, and then suddenly It's the fastest fucking thing you've ever seen.
And it's armored all of a sudden.
And that's, and those things are crazy. And so they need to propel themselves at such a high velocity to be able to make these cuts that just seeing this visually, how the Scout Legion is shooting around each other, not only navigating in the walls of the city,
or in the forest,
but navigating between each other.
And around these Titans that are constantly
bananas.
Moving. It's a gorgeous thing to watch. I love the animation of these. There was a point in the last, and it's funny because it's a plot point too. Like there are new scouts who are not quite as adept at moving around and they crash and they like, they run out of the pressurized gas and they run out of blades because they have replacement blades that are almost like an X-Acto knife. Like they come in sections.
That's exactly what it looks like is an X-Acto, a giant X-Acto knife.
So that's pretty cool to see them flying around, crashing around. And sometimes they're not good. They haven't been on the job long enough. So they just get plucked out of the air and eaten. Like they're gone. That's it.
Ugh.
But other times, there was a moment in the last couple of episodes where a certain group is like, they're pinned down and they're pretty much done. Like they've done everything they can. They actually had kind of a secret weapon in their midst and it worked for a time, but they're surrounded by these things. There was like a moment where it looks like they're all about to die. And then the literal cavalry arrives, and it was one of the coolest scenes in the show because they just show like somebody on the ground looking up and the scout troop just kind of like flies overhead with their like, you know, their things flying, their swords waving in the air. It was a really cool kind of almost patriotic, like rousing moment. I love moments like that. So they really sell the scout angle of it. The other cool thing, the Titans themselves, especially like the specific special Titans. So do you remember some of your favorites from the first season? Because we definitely revisit them in this season.
Well, I mean, I liked Annie
was cool.
Who was another human. She was the first female Titan that you actually had that just actually had. And this sounds so dumb to say this, but she actually had breasts is like the only distinguishing thing. She was sort of like her entire body was sort of like this weird pulled apart flesh and also like the
sinew.
Yeah, it
looked like she just didn't have skin on,
sort of the
basically.
Muscle that was underneath it. Right. And so, but she was the first Titan that you see that you can actually tell that it's a gender other than male. And you're like, wow, that seems very interesting because at that point you had seen so many Titans that are just these like naked, weird looking men. And then suddenly you have something that's unique and is not only unique, but is brutal.
And a big part of the plot too, because you come to learn that there are other humans besides Aaron who can shift between human form and Titan form and back and forth. Yeah.
And that sort of becomes a big point that they finally bring into play in season two, which thank God, because I was really worried that they were going to drag their heels, but they got to some of these points pretty
fucking
quickly.
And I didn't want to mention this when we talked before, because you had not seen it yet, but there's a moment, I'm not going to spoil it for people out there because it involves two of like the coolest Titans that we've seen so far. But there's a really crazy moment where a bunch of people are kind of standing around and they're having this casual conversation. And this like kind of blew my mind because I was working on something else and this pulled me away from that. And I was just like, wait, what? Because they're having a casual conversation and these guys are just kind of like, by the way, Aaron, we are those Titans who did this and that and we want you to come with us. And I had to pause it and go back and make sure I heard that correct because they're just having, it's a conversation about like, what are we going to have for dinner? Do we have enough supplies to get to the next place? Where are we going to go after this and check on the like security of the wall? And I was just like, hold on, what? And then it just goes into this bonkers action sequence that has spread throughout that entire next episode and continuing to the one that's coming up next. So really, really well done. I love the cliffhangers. I love the mythology that they're finally like answering some questions. Loving it so far.
But what do you? I want to ask the question: what do you think is in Aaron Yeager's basement? What do you think his
I'm
dad?
I'm assuming
left
his.
Him?
I don't know if he left him something or if he just has like research. Like it seems like what we learned from these guys who said they were Titans and then very clearly were Titans is that there's like a homeland somewhere, and I don't know if it's just their homeland, like where they grew up, or if this is like the focus of certain research. That was, I don't know if they're looking for like the next step in human evolution or they're looking for like a perfect weapon. or if there's some weird scale thing at play where the humans aren't actually humans, they're actually smaller, and the Titans are actually an old guard of humans. I have no idea. And yes, I know there are a lot of people out there who are just like, just read the manga. I get it. I like to read the book before I watch a movie. Sometimes you just don't have the time or the money to do that. I get it. Relax. Not everybody's read the manga. We don't know what the answers are yet. Let us enjoy this and please come along for the ride. But all I can say is maybe his dad was into some sort of like government military research, and maybe Aaron was part of that experiment, or he was just kind of caught up in the crossfire. But these other guys are part of the experiments, because some of these are way too specialized to just be like, unless they're sort of like an evolution within the Titans themselves. Beast Titan, I have no clue what that dude's about.
Holy God, Sasquatch Titan? That thing is crazy.
My favorite is probably still Armored Titan because he looks badass, but then Colossal Titan just because he's so big. Titan. And then Beast Titan. Yeah. So it's Beast fun, Titan. Man.
Those are the three specialized ones that we have so far now. Because
it's fun though. Yeah. It's a crazy premise, and it's like I said, it's between a comedy and a horror show, depending on which section you watch, but it's fun, man, and I'm having a good time keeping up with it. And we're going to wrap it up here for tonight, but we will be talking about a couple more contemporary shows on an upcoming episode. So if you'd like to hear our thoughts about some other cartoons that we're watching, make sure to listen up next week. Anything else on Attack on Titan before we wrap it up?
That's it, man. Yeah. All right, buddy. Great show. Great show. Steven Universe and Attack on Titan.
Can't wait for the crossover.
Check them out.
It's going to be amazing.
Oh. Steven Titan. Can't wait.
Yeah. Attack on Universe, I guess. What do you have coming up the next couple of weeks for our folks out there?
Hey guys, as always, I do live improv comedy in Washington, D.C. with a group called Nox. That's N-O-X exclamation point. You can check out tickets and times on our website, witdc.org. And as always, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
David, you can find me on Twitter at Dr. Claw MD. You can also find me on Collider.com, Nerdist.com, and DaveTrumbore.com. If you're interested in finding out more about the show and, I don't know, maybe supporting us, that'd be super cool. You can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Saturday Morning Cartoons. Remember, that's morning with a U, just like universe. You can also head on over to our website, Saturday Morning. I had to double check. It's like universe. You can head on over to our website, SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Keep the conversation going on Facebook. Check out Sean's handiwork on our Instagram page. And listen to our free audio, possibly video, podcast each and every week through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. You can also send us an email each and every week if you'd like to, just to catch up with us, SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. That's going to wrap it up for this casual conversation tonight. We will be back with more contemporary cartoon chat next time on Saturday Morning Cartoons. But once again, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening to Saturday Morning Cartoons. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to transform and roll out.